Religious broadcaster Pat Robertson recently predicted that President Bush would win re-election in a walk because, quote, God is blessing him. We're still awaiting confirmation from the Reverend source. But the Democratic frontrunner, Howard Dean, said that he now intends to talk more about his religious feelings as the campaign unfolds. Voter interest in the personal faith of the commander-in-chief, whether the incumbent or a challenger, could have a bearing on this year's election. Michael Cromarty is vice president of the Ethics and Public Policy Center in Washington, D.C. He joins us in our studios. Thanks very much for being with us.
Great to be here. Thank you, Scott.
And Carl Cannon covers the White House for the National Journal. He's author of the book, The Pursuit of Happiness in Times of War. Mr. Cannon's also in our studios. Mr. Cannon, thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
And let me ask you both, if we could, in turn, Mr. Cannon and Mr. Cromarty. Is the state of a candidate's faith a measure that a good number of the American people use in making their decision?
Well, I wouldn't have thought so, but there's new poll data out from Pew that shows a gap, almost an inverse relationship. The more people go to church, the more they vote Republican, or at least the more they say they're going to vote for George Bush. The less they go to church, the more they prefer the generic Democrat in the polling. And that's new, and so I'm afraid it may be something people are deciding on.
Michael Cromarty, let me ask you to examine it from maybe a more general prospect. Is religion more important in your mind to many Americans than a number of other yardsticks they might use in making their decision?
I think it is, Scott, and the reason is because I think people generally see religion as an indicator of a person's virtue, that they link religion with decency, generally, and that they want a person in high office to be a person they can trust. And so almost three-quarters of Americans say that yes, religious faith and some kind of piety is important to them.
Michael, I seem to recall, I think, the first presidential candidate to speak openly and with great declaration and specificity about his faith was, in fact, Jimmy Carter.
Well, yes, not going back further in history, we can go further than that. But Carter was very personable about his faith. He expressed it with great comfort and ease. It made some people nervous. And so then he went and did a Playboy interview to tell people he was still a human being. But the fact of the matter is that for the last 20 or 30 years, all candidates, except for Michael Dukakis, have, as we get closer to an election, start talking about their church attendance and about their belief in God.
Is this president, Mr. Bush, more apparent in his religious faith than other presidents, or is his faith more apparent in his policies than other presidents, at least of the recent past?
Well, it depends how recent you're talking about. George Bush did not do, as Eisenhower did, begin his inaugural address with a prayer that he had written and led the nation in. Nor did he do, as Franklin Roosevelt had done, when Ike was in the field about to lead the invasion of Normandy, lead the nation in a prayer for victory in battle. A president can't quite be that overt today, but Bush has come close. You know, he says that freedom is not America's gift to the world, it's God's gift to mankind. And while that statement also has roots in the preamble to the Declaration of Independence, it's also clearly biblical, too. And the question, I think, is whether our nation's become so pluralistic and the global village so small that a president still ought to talk this way.
It's a very fine line that all candidates must follow, which is that you can talk about God, but it must be in a non-sectarian way.
Right, non-sectarian, but not secular. We don't have presidents saying they don't believe in God. Plenty of our friends who would say that. I'm not sure Thomas Jefferson would be electable today by the standards that we use. He wrote a Bible, it's called the Jefferson Bible today. He didn't call it that, but he's got all the miracles out of it. Jesus is a very wise man, sublime philosopher in Jefferson's words, but that might be too secular.
But I'm also interested in this. Abraham Lincoln is often considered a deist, not a man of specific faith and fealty. And yet, of course, you read that second inaugural address. I think it would sound odd for a president today to give a speech that was so rife in specific religious references as Abraham Lincoln made in that address, where he talked about the Civil War being literally God's punishment on the United States for slavery.
I agree with you. The other thing, though, is Lincoln was looking for universal themes that all Americans would understand, and all Americans knew the Bible then. Mm-hmm. So in a way, it's the popular culture of his day as well as the great moral touchstone of his day. But I agree with you. Bush speaks this way sometimes, and there's people it makes uncomfortable.
How much of that rhetoric is borne out in policy?
Let me just say, Scott, that I think that his faith is not borne out in policy as much as his critics would like to say. Some have thought that, for instance, on foreign policy, that Bush is sort of like biblical fundamentalists who think that there's a divine plan for the Middle East, and he's following some sort of scorecard for the Middle East there, and that's just simply not the case. I think that the president actually gets from the Bible principles like God wants us to have compassion for the poor, and then he goes from those principles and says now to his advisors, what are the most prudential ways to help people through government, but also through other institutions that are apart from government?
Well, you know, Christians can be on either side of a debate about food stamp formulas, but to take the big issue of our time, Bush seems to believe that, in fact, he has said that Saddam Hussein interfered with God's plan for the Iraqi people. It's not much of a stretch to say that in Bush's plan, the United States Army is doing God's work. And so I think the manifestation of Bush's faith are in his foreign policy, and depending on what you think of his faith or his foreign policies, Americans have very different views.
What do you gentlemen make of the fact that that former Governor Dean, who is now, I think we can agree, this week, at any rate, certainly the front runner for the Democratic nomination, has not only begun to talk about religion publicly in a more declarative manner, but has said, I realize this is something I have to do to let people know who I am.
I thought that was interesting. And then he went from there at warp speed to, oh, yes, I do believe, and I go to the Bible, and I read the Bible, and I'll talk about this too, and I think God wants gay marriage, which I thought was fascinating.
What he said was, from a religious point of view, if God had thought homosexuality is a sin, he would not have created gay people.
Right.
Which, I mean, is a little bit distant from saying God has endorsed gay marriage explicitly.
Well, no, I think it's interesting that the frontrunner, Mr. Dean, has so late in the campaign discovered that he needs to start talking about faith and religion, and he said it explicitly because I'm going to the South. There's no record of him having attended church for some time now, but he's waxing theological on many issues the last week or two.
That sort of makes it sound as if it's more important for him to be seen in church than it is for him to actually make religious principles a part of his life.
I just think it helps if you're going to start talking about theological issues that you be linked to a tradition that you're a part of and have been a part of, a faithful member of, for some time now.
Well, you can't get in someone's mind when it comes to that. Dean himself said very pointedly, people start questioning what my sincerity on this, they're over the line, and I actually tend to agree with that. Mm-hmm. I think you have to take these statements, if you're a reporter, at face value, unless you see some obvious hypocrisy, and I do not agree with my friend Michael Cromartie about that you have to speak from a particular tradition. Lincoln didn't, and Reagan rarely went to church. No one I know questions their faith, and so I think that the Democratic Party in some ways learned from Jimmy Carter a lesson that it may have forgotten. And Dean seems an unlikely person to reconnect them to that, but why not him?
Gentlemen, thank you both very much.
Thank you, Scott.
Thanks for having us.
Carl Cannon covers the White House for the National Journal. He's author of The Pursuit of Happiness in Times of War. Michael Cromartie is vice president of the Ethics and Public Policy Center in Washington, D.C.